Luke chapter 16, I'll try not to be long. And you heard about the guy who says, I've got so much to say, I don't know where to start. A little third grader helped him in the back, said, start somewhere toward the end. I'll try not to be too long with you tonight. Another guy was preaching a long time, and a wife, this older lady brought her husband one of the first times, and the pastor kept going on and on and on, and finally he said, honey, I can't take it. I got to get out of here. He said, no, honey, that's embarrassing. Don't get up in the middle of the service. He said, he won't quit. He just keeps going on and on and on. He said, honey, just say, he'll quit. He's almost ready. He said he's going to quit in just a moment. He said that 35 minutes ago he's going to quit. He said, honey, please just stay. And finally he said, I've had enough. I've got to go. And he stood up, started walking out. The pastor got a little fired up with him. He said, hey, sir, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go get a haircut. He said, oh, you should have got a haircut before you came in here. He said, pastor, I didn't need a haircut before I came in here. We'll try to keep you from having to get a haircut before the service is over here. If you have your Bible, stand, if you would please, and turn to Luke chapter 16. Let's look at a couple verses here. I want to speak tonight out of my favorite, one of the most motivating passages of scriptures that I know is in this passage. Luke chapter 16, let's look at it together. The verse number 1, the Bible says, and he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one his Lord's debtor unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou to my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50 instead of 100. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, write 80, change it to 80. And the Lord, not Jesus, but the man who this fellow worked for, commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Verse number 9, read that with me, would you please? This is where the Lord Jesus speaks up. Let's read it together. And I say unto you, verse 10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or finances, who will commit to your trust true finances, true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? Our Heavenly Father, in the moments we're together, I'm humbled, Lord, just to come for a few minutes and be an extension of a man and his lovely wife and a church family that operates here daily in this community for the cause of Christ. But I need your help. I do not want to waste their time. I want to help them. I want to stay within the margins of truth, and I want to make sure I'm careful not to say anything that you would once said. This is your word, and Lord, I know you do not need me, but once again, I stand in great need of thee. I pray that you would please help us, and I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Wood's message last night. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Jones, who will speak tomorrow, and Brother Lovins, and Brother Dameron. All these men are just wonderful. Brother Russ, I pray you bless every one of the messages, and Lord, massage our heart and challenge us to be more ready to love you and others more and do more for you and others is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I go into the message, I'm certainly grateful to have 4 men from our church just visiting with us today. One of them works for our ministry. The other 3, just faithful laymen in our work. And I'm very thankful for their friendship and grateful for them coming down. You guys, just raise your hand right there. These 4 guys right here. And we're very grateful for Brother Matthew Swain, Brother John Cole, and Brother James Anderson, and also Brother Joe Yokas being with us. Thank you for allowing us to come together. Pastor treated us to supper tonight at your expense, and I thank you very much for the opportunity to eat together. And he said, I was going to pay for them. He said, our church would not want that. They are the generous people that want to feed everybody. And so I'm struggling with the food down here. When I eat it, I may be allergic. I swell. I'm just getting fat there, you know. That was a very good meal, and I thank you very much. This story right here is very unique in the fact that we find that the Bible tells us that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not one that he spoke to the multitudes, but to his disciples. And he tells them a story. He said, there's a certain wealthy man, and this wealthy man has numbers of men who are stewards or managers in his affairs. They probably live on his property and houses that he owns. They receive income from what he pays them, and they have been given responsibility to conduct his affairs. And so this wealthy man has multiple managers, and someone comes to this man and says, sir, just so you know, there is one of the guys working for you, and he's not really a good guy. He's lazy. He is wasting your goods. He's clueless. He doesn't even know what he's doing. And I just no skin off my teeth, boss, but if I just feel like you ought to know that. Well, rich men do not stay rich ignoring such information. And he says, you know what? I think I need to go talk to that guy. And he called that guy in. I don't know if he went out and saw him in the field or if he called him in to his shed or his pole barn or wherever he was or his office or down at the coffee shop. And he said, listen, I need to talk to you. He said, it's been told to me that you have wasted my goods and you may no longer be my steward. I'm thinking about firing you. But I want to give you some time, get your act together, and show me if you are worthy or not. And when I call you back into my office or I meet you again, I want you to show me what you have done with the goods that I have given you and the responsibility I've given you. Well, after that very terse meeting, the man who had been the steward, he stepped away and said, oh, man, I'm going to get fired. He said, my boss is going to take away from me the stewardship. That means I'm out of my house. That means my wife and my kids are not going to have a place to sit down and get something to eat. That means I'm in trouble. He said, what am I going to do? He said, I can't dig. I don't know why he couldn't dig. Maybe he had a bad back. Maybe he was old. Maybe he's just lazy. I don't know. He said, I can't dig. And to beg, I'm ashamed. To go around and say, you know, my name is Jimmy, take all you give me. He said, that's not going to work. I've been a boss. I've been respecting the community. I've been a foreman. I've been a steward. I've got people under me. And now to go around and start begging, I can't see myself. What am I going to do? And he says, hey, I'm resolved. I've got an idea. I know what I'm going to do. So when I do get fired and my boss takes me out of the stewardship, that I'll have some options for at least a little while. So he got an idea. His idea was is that he would find out anyone who owed his boss money on his responsibilities. In the years that he had been working for his boss or months and all he's done, he found out that lots of guys had. He probably, his boss owned the Home Depot or Lowe's or something like that, or the local department store, or the Ace Hardware store or something, the Mercantile. And so they would get something from him, and he found out who owed his boss money, and he called a meeting with all of them. And he said to them, how much do you owe my boss? I think he probably asked them because he had no earthly idea himself. He had not done a good job. He didn't know what he was doing. He said, how much do you owe my boss? And the guy said, well, I'm owing him 100 measures of oil. He said, all right, where's the bill? Well, that's right here in my pocket or in my satchel. And he said, take that bill. Let's change it. Let's take and make it 50. And he takes the pen or takes the ring that he's wearing now that he's getting ready to have taken away from him. And his signature matters now. And he says, change that. Change it right now from 100 to 50. You only owe $50 now to my boss. And here's my ring. I'll stamp it. It's as good as gold. You got an instant 50% discount. And sure enough, that guy on the other side of the discount said, you know, buddy, I tell you what, I was kind of frustrated. I was thinking about taking my business somewhere else, but I'm going to stay with your boss. He said, you know, and by the way, you are a good guy. You understand what it's like to make a living and squeak out a living in this community. And I tell you, I appreciate you. And you know what? You need to get the wife and kids and come over to my house and eat dinner with us. And at that time, he said, you know, that's all right. That's all right. No, you're going to come. We're going to have you come. And in the back of his mind, he said, oh, yes, sooner than you think, I'm coming over. Because I'm getting ready to get fired is what he understood. And I'm going to need a place to take my family. He goes, he said, look, you're the best. We love you, man. Appreciate all you're doing to help. He said, that's okay. Well, have a good day. And 50% off. Next guy, how much do you owe my Lord? He said, 80, 100 measures of wheat. He said, let's change that to 80. And he crosses out. He stamps it and says, you know what? You only owe 80. And that man says, you know what? You know how to give a guy a bargain. I appreciate you. He said, listen, you got to bring the wife and kids and just come over and spend a few nights with us. And we've got a pool out back. We got all kinds of stuff and everything. He said, you got to come over with us. And he said, no. No, I insist you got to do it. Well, in the back of his mind, he said, oh, yeah, we're bringing the whole family. And one by one, everybody gets these brother-in-law deals that he's handing out. And one by one, he is making himself extremely popular, and his boss, too. Now he is popular, and his boss is popular, because he's cutting everybody these deals. And he's doing that because he knows and that he's going to get fired. And he will need their help. He'll need a place to stay. He'll need their friendship. And so he makes himself very popular. I could just imagine his boss going down to the tea shop or something, getting a drink of tea and sitting there, and a guy walking up to him and say, you know, Mr. Omar, I'll tell you what, I was thinking about taking my business somewhere else, but I am going to stay with you. Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. And by the way, that guy works for you, Joe? Oh, that guy's the best employee you got. He knows about people, and he helped me so much. How did he help you? He gave me 50% off. What? Yeah, man, I love that Joe, boy. He goes, I bet you do. Well, everywhere that boss goes, he is getting patted on the back. You're the best. You believe in this community. You just really helped the little guy. And that boss is saying, Joe? Yeah, oh, I love Joe. Now, Joe's great. Joe goes up to McDonald's to get an Egg McMuffin, and people say, no, you're not. Your money's not good here. This is on us. Everywhere he goes, Joe is getting all these deals. Everybody loves Joe. And the boss says, that Joe. And the Bible says in verse number 8 that the Lord commended Joe. He commended the unjust steward in that he did something very shrewd, very wise. He knew that he was getting ready to get canned. He knew that he was getting ready to get fired. And he used his time to make himself popular and his boss popular in a short time, so that when he would get fired, he would have places and options to go and people who loved him, and they would think good about Joe and think upset with his boss if he fired him. And the boss said, that Joe, he's lazy, but he's smart. And he's smarter than a lot of children of light. Who do you think that's talking about? It's talking about you. It's talking about me. He said, this guy, these children of this generation are wiser than the children of the light. And then the Lord Jesus gives his advice. Look at verse number 9. See it with me and read it out loud again, would you please? And I say unto you, make to yourselves that when ye fail, here now, the story's over, boys and girls, and now Jesus says, disciples, story time's over, here's the application. After hearing this story about Joe and Omar and all those people, here's the application. I'm telling you, get out there and go make some friends that when you fail, that means when you get fired from living, when you die, when you stop, you cannot reach into your pocket or your purse and get another gospel tract. You cannot give another dime. You cannot teach a Sunday school class. You can't do the bus route anymore. When you die and fail, that they will receive you into what habitation? Heaven. They will want to enjoy you, to enjoy their heaven with you forever. And then he goes on to say these things that if you're faithful in little, I'll bless you in much. If you're faithful with money, I'll give you true riches. If you're faithful, which is with another person's, I'm going to give you things that are your own, because no man can serve two masters. Can't serve God and mammon at the same time. So a lot of lessons we can learn this, and I just want to just share with you a couple of them. Number one, I want you to notice the stewardship of life. Probably the most important principle that every one of us, if we got a checkup from the neck up and understood something, this is what we understand. Life is stewardship. This church is not pastor's church. First Baptist Church of Hammond is not my church. The people there are not my people. They belong to the Lord. My clothes are not my clothes. The vehicle out in the parking lot is not my vehicle. My children are not even my children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. I found that out 10 years ago when our 17-year-old boy was traveling with a couple in our church and the car flipped over. And at the end, the driver was fine, the man in the back was fine, but our son broke both of his ribs. One went into his heart, one into his lung, and on the side of the road, he went home to live with Jesus, the one who gave it to us. He's lived with him for the last 10 years. And I was kind of fired up, and I wanted to find out who's responsible and what can I do and how could this happen. And the Lord reminded me, John, he was never yours from the beginning. And God gave, and the Lord, he took him to be with him. That's his business. I have to just figure out how to live life without him and trust the owner. All of us have to understand that life is a stewardship. It's not yours. Even your body is not yours. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you? What you have of God, you're not your own. You're bought with a? Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are? They're which are his. They belong to him. I don't belong to me. You don't belong to you. We belong to God. And life is a stewardship. And we have to evaluate the money you have in your checking account, underneath your mattress at home, girls in that stash that you keep that we can't figure out where it is all the time. Hey, every woman has stash. She has a place where she keeps some extra money. You know it's true, girls. Don't get mad. Hey, even that doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. Our talents belong to God. Everything we have belongs to the Lord. And life is a stewardship. Now, we all would say amen to that, but our lives oftentimes make us liars. Yeah, I know, I bought that truck, and that's a good truck. And God, it's God's truck. Hey, can you go pick up so-and-so, bring them to church? You know, those people aren't very nice dressed. I don't think I would. No, because we got that's our truck. Well, see how you find when someone comes by and keys your truck, how excited you get. If it's the Lord's, we have to understand that. It was Job who said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the Lord." All this, Job, sin not nor charge God like an idiot, foolishly. No, he understood that life was a stewardship. Your life is a steward. Your talents are stewards. I will say oftentimes, the next thing real quickly, number one, life is a stewardship. And it doesn't matter if you've been breathing air for 6 years or 86 years, every breath you've breathed have come at the hand of a God who gave it to you. If you have a gift or a strength or a blessing, and all of us do, every one of us are gifted. We have responsibilities that God gave us. We are stewards of that. Life is a stewardship. Number two, you have a responsibility to stand before God. The boss is going to call you back in. It's appointed a man wants to. You're going to fail. You're going to get fired. You're going to get canned from living. I do not know when. Your casket could be in town this week. The one that you're going to be in, not a one of us can guarantee that our dead body might not be up in front of this church this week before Saturday. And that could happen to the youngest to the oldest. I'm not saying that to scare or to cause any problem. I'm just telling you, every one of us are going to give an account. The boss is going to say, I need to talk to you. It's time to talk. And now you're going to give an account of the deeds done while you were in your body that belonged to God, while you spent the money that belonged to God, while you invested the money, while you did the things with your time and your effort, all that. Now the boss is calling you in. Number one, the stewardship of life. Number two, the standing before God. The Bible tells us in Romans 14, verse number 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. The Bible tells us we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone's going to have that one-on-one. You're not going to have to be there with your pastor. Your pastor will give an account for himself and how he directed the way you think, the way you feel and what you want, your soul. Every time he preaches, whether you like it or not, he is trying to direct you to think like Jesus, to feel like Jesus, and to desire what Jesus wants for your future, your life. He's given that responsibility. He has greater responsibility. I might have some greater responsibility in my responsibility because I'm a pastor. As a dad, as a husband, you have the same thing. You have roles. And we're going to get called in. It's guaranteed. The stewardship of life. The standing before God. And then, spending our life wisely. Spending our life. Now, how do you spend your life wisely? The Bible tells us, he says, Jesus said, now, go out there and make friends for eternity. So that when you die, they'll receive the everlasting invitation. Use the same mentality this guy had. Go out there and make some friends. Now, how many friends have you made for eternity? Who in heaven will be looking for you because you personally gave the gospel to them? Because you gave to world evangelism and by proxy someone took the gospel to them. They'll know. We'll know even as also we're know. And the books will be open. I think that people from, and I don't know all will know in heaven. There may not be a need for books, but if they want to find out who gave what to get their missionary the gospel to them, they could find out. They could find out what was done and who did that and who drove the bus and what role he was and who taught the class and who prayed the prayers, who prayed for the pastor, who prayed for the preaching, who was it that watched the nursery, who was it that took care of the person that night when they walked down. The books will be open. You have a standing for God, but he said we need to spend our life wisely. And that has to do with, I do believe, with getting people the gospel of Christ. Everybody needs a revival of the Great Commission. And the truth of the matter is, all of us need revival. Most Christians need the revival most of the time. If you lead someone to Christ last week, you can oftentimes live for a whole month on that one. When there's someone else walking by me that needs the gospel of Christ. Someone needs to hear the gospel. Someone needs to get a gospel. You know who gives out gospel tracts? People that have them. If you don't have them, you're not going to give them out. Put them in your purse, put them in your truck, your car, put them in your pocket. Talk to someone about Christ. Be a blessing to your neighbors. Be sensitive. You see them going through a difficult time. Help them in their difficult time. Build trust. Build opportunities. Minister to them. Pray for them. Pray for the lost. Support world evangelism. Why? Because you want to spend your life wisely. And wise people make investments in people while they're here. In 1,000 years from this very night, on this April 1st, all that's going to matter for every one of us on the whole planet is where we live, with God or without Him. And if you're a Christian, what's going to matter is how you lived. What you did with your time, what you did with your talents. And we're going to give an account of that. We're going to give an account. Every one of us have things that we're responsible for. Number one, you're responsible for your time. The Bible tells us redeeming the time because the days are evil. I think one of the things of the sin of our generation is our waste of time. Strolling through social media hours on end. Watching television over and over. Listening to them say the same thing over and over again. Oh no, it's Fox News. They just keep saying the same dumb thing over and over again. We do so many things. We spend, all of us have 168 hours of our week. And how we spend it sometimes is going to be terribly embarrassing. We have to give an account of our time. We have to give an account of our talents. Some of you, you have unbelievable gifts. Gifts are things we don't brag about ourselves. Someone says, oh, Pastor, that's a nice tie. Well, I could point back to the person who gave it to me. It's not me, it's them. Oh, a great watch. Well, Brother Terry Duff gave me that watch. Everything I have that is a gift, I made that watch. It took a lot of time. No, I didn't make that watch. Has nothing to do with me. I just put it on my wrist. It reflects on the person who gave it to me. And it's to be used to prosper and to help and functional. Hey, listen, that's exactly the way we need to see our talents. Love hearing the beautiful songs tonight. And of course, Brother Mrs. Russ and Brother Chamberlain, our sweet piano player, did a great job on the offertory and the song lead and all that. Everybody has talents. Some of you just turn a buck. Everything you touch turns to gold. And it's not because you're all that. It's just God helps you. God's giving you a little bit deeper pockets to figure out some things. You might want to figure out what you're supposed to do with what God's given you. The time we have. Some of you talk to people and people love you. Some of you are just natural leaders. You know what? I think I'm going to go over to Dairy Queen. Everybody follows you. You know? Some of you say, yeah, I think I'm going to Dairy Queen. Well, have a good time. And you walk by yourself. Some of you can't get your shadow to follow you. You know, it's just rough. All of that stuff is stuff we have, but God gives us talents. He gives us time. He gives us treasure. He gives us money. Oh, everybody has money. Everybody thinks about money every day. Everyone in this room, every single person has thought about money today, sometime today. And if I ask you, you could tell me how. I remember a couple times, probably 10 or 12 times a day. Maybe 100 times a day, I don't know. I remember putting gas in there and thinking, how much am I paying for that? Good night. I was thinking about things several times a day, and you thought about it, and you can tell me how you thought about it. Why? Because where a man's treasure is, there his. It affects my thinking. It affects my feelings, my desires. But I'm going to give an account of my treasure, what God gave me. I'm not going to give an account of what God gave you. Give an account of what God gave me. You've got to give an account of our training. This is not the kingdom hall. This is not a mosque. 2 weeks ago tonight, I was laying in a bed in Alexandria, Egypt, teaching. It was teaching throughout the day, teaching many hours to about 40 pastors and about 35 Bible students and other Christian workers and deacons in Alexandria. And I lay in my bed and I hear the whoa, 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 thinking, oh man, that's terrible. It even sounds terrible. Prayers to Allah. Prayers and mosque everywhere and sounds of crying and screaming and people, women getting beaten and kids going without truth and just all the scare and the sadness on the eyes of the people. I think, you know, I had nothing to do with this, but I was brought to a church like this. And I was trained in a church like this. I was taught to be a soul winner. I was taught to live holy life. I went to a marriage altar pure because of the inspiration I received from pulpits like this one and the instruction I received from a word of God and the Holy Spirit, all that stuff. I'm responsible for my training. God help you young people if you leave a church like this and the home you leave and go off and live for the devil. Hey, we ought to have a responsibility. Listen, you're responsible for your training. You're responsible for the truth. God says you're stewards. It's required of stewards that a man be found. Stewards of what? Stewards of the truth. We have the truth. We're stewards of our trials, our difficult times. If all of our trials were hung out on the line, at the end of the day, you choose your trials, I choose mine, but all of us got them. Some of you, you've gone through, you've heard the doctor say you've got cancer. You've gone through difficult trials of rejection, and husband left, the wife left, the kids have gone crazy. The difficulties, the financial reversals, the challenges, all of us have trials, but God gives us grace for every trial. And you're responsible for your trial, I'm responsible for mine. Stewardship of life. The standing before a God, and by the way, in just a few days, you're going to stand before that God. Say, Pastor, nah, I've got years. You don't know that. And even if you did, it'll seem like a few days. When we stand before God and have to give an account, we must spend our life wisely. And one of the wisest ways to spend your life is by getting the gospel to another person. When you get the gospel to someone else, friend, it is very, very eternally significant. It's important that you do whatever you do for the Lord, but it's really important. There's no substitute for someone telling someone else about Jesus. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is? Yeah. Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness as the stars forever and ever. Turning people to righteousness as the stars. Hey, it's wisdom to witness to people. I was thinking about this and talking to our men on the way down here. 5 times in our New Testament, God gives us the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to go tell someone, to help them get baptized, to help them get discipled, and help them do what God's called them to do. That's Great Commission is to everyone, and it's to this church family. And when you do those five, when you do the Great Commission, there are benefits. In Matthew, he says, I want you to go baptize, teach all nations. And then he says, lo, I am. He says, if you'll get the Great Commission, I'll swap that with my presence. I'll be with you. You know, all of us want is the presence of God. You're raising those beautiful kids. You need the presence of God. Their mother needs the presence of God. Their grandmother needs the presence of God. Their dad needs the presence of God upon them. That's a game changer right there. The presence of God. In Mark, he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. And then he says, later on, he says, now if snakes will bite you, I'll protect you. If they make you drink poison, I'm going to protect you. Because when we get the gospel, we not only get the presence of God, we get the protection of God. In the book of Luke, he says, I want you to preach the gospel, preach repentance for forgiveness of sin, begin at Jerusalem, and to go into all nations. We said, first, I need you to tarry at Jerusalem. A couple things there. Sometimes you need patience. The gospel of Christ and the Great Commission comes with a patience to go through difficult times while you're waiting. That's why every day going soul winning is a good day. You're either breaking up fallow ground, you're planting a seed, or watering a seed that's already planted, or you're receiving a reaping a harvest. And men, put the gospel out and be patient. Continue on with the patience of a farmer who keeps on planting, keeps on working toward that. In John, he said, my peace I give you. As the Father has given me, so I'll give I you. And he says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. When people get excited about getting people the gospel, they get the presence of God, the protection of God. They get the patience. And I would say to see the program of God. They see the peace of God. You know, you have to have peace to make progress. Have you ever spent your day sometimes just putting out fires like that? There's just fires everywhere going. It seems like all the kind of problems. How much success do you have that day? Miserable. You can't get anything done. Sometimes I go home and I say, how'd it go? It was terrible. I just put fires out all day long. I don't think I got anything accomplished. Everybody's got these problems. You know, I'm running over here doing all these things. And we can't get anything going. You know what changes that? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The Great Commission. And then Acts 1:8, he said, but ye shall receive. Oh, power comes to the gospel witness. Peace comes to the gospel witness. The patience that God will help us through difficult times comes to the gospel witness. The protection of God, the presence of God comes. That's how we can spend our life. Are you spending your life wisely? Ma'am, sir, pastor, soul winner, bus worker, Are you giving some time? Are your effort going? Are you seeing people get saved? If you're not, begin with prayer. Begin praying for opportunities to share the gospel of Christ. And then get personally involved in the lives of someone. Say, God, I want to see people saved. And you keep interacting with people. You keep giving the gospel. You keep knocking doors. You keep going to those mobile home parks. You keep going to those places. That place is set up back off the road. If God's drawing your heart, there's probably somebody there that needs someone to go over and see them. Well, they might reject me. They rejected Jesus. They might say, hey, I need to talk to you. Thank you. Let's be faithful about that. Then I see the last thing in this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 16 I'll just share with you. And that is, we need to serve God faithfully. One of the keys to finding, he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. He that is faithful in financial management is faithful. I'll give them true riches. Hey, just a reminder, money can buy a wonderful bed, but it can't give you a good night's rest. It can buy you a beautiful wedding, but it cannot give you a beautiful marriage. It can bring home beautiful babies from the hospital and pay the insurance bill, but it can't raise a good baby. You need the presence of God on that. And you know what? It can't give you spiritual influence with souls, but God can. Handling your finances with faith. Handling your other man's things. And that means everything is, if we understand ourselves in stewardship in this side of eternity, there'll be a day when God wants to give you things that are your own that you can enjoy for all eternity. That's why Jesus said, lay up for yourselves. He didn't say, lay up for me. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Stewardship of life, standing before God, spending life wisely, and then being steadfast and faithful while we wait. May God help us. Let's pray together, can we? Their heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to thank you for listening. If there's anyone here you're not sure, if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Listen, don't go away without Jesus. If you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you please come? Let someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If there's something that God's working your heart on, if He'll speak to you, speak back to Him in words of confession and repentance. Respond to the Holy Spirit of God. No response is a response, but may I encourage you to respond in humility and honesty and exchange that for the grace that God wants to give us to help us. If you're doing something wrong, admit it and quit it. Confess it, forsake it. If you find yourself apathetic about souls, ask God to burn inside of you a desire to get the lost, the gospel. Only one life so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. May God work in our hearts, Pastor.